Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We like to get right into it. And what we're going to get right into today is the issue of Joe Biden's course correction. Actually, there's not going to be a course correction, and that's what we're going to get into, actually. The failures of President Biden's first year in office are really obvious to everybody. Inflation is raging. COVID is raging. Crime is spiking in a lot of big cities. The U.S.-Mexico border is a mess. The American withdrawal from Afghanistan was a mess. And with it all, with all of that happening, the president and his party are obsessed, most of all, with passing a voting rules bill that would help ensure their future election by federalizing the voting system along lines favorable to Democrats. So that's the problem right there. Things are going badly, and the president is not focused on issues that concern Americans the most. So we've just had the first anniversary of Biden's presidency, 1 year since he's been in office. And in all of the kind of think pieces that you see around this, there has been a lot of talk about a reset or a reboot or a restart for his administration. Here's the thing. It's just talk. As he puts together an approach to governing in year two, Joe Biden is still Joe Biden. His judgment is still lacking. And if you listen to him, he is not really planning to do anything differently. He said so himself at his news conference. So he was asked, are you satisfied with your team's performance in the first year? And Biden said, yes, I'm satisfied. And then he said, there are three things I'm going to do differently. So you think, wow, okay, maybe there's really going to be a course correction, a reset, a reboot. But the remarkable thing is that none of those three things is substantive. None involves Biden actually changing course from his unsuccessful first year. So we're going to listen to all three things that he said he was going to do. Let's start out with the question from Jeff Zeleny of CNN, who says, you know, you're really experienced. Are you going to do anything differently? Let's listen to the question and Biden's first resolution to do things differently.
At least in our recent memory, with as much Washington experience as you entered this office with, but yet after we sit here for more than an hour, I'm not sure I've heard you say if you would do anything differently in the second year of your term. Do you plan to do anything differently?
Yeah, look, the thing I have to do.
Are you satisfied with your team here at the White House, sir?
I'm satisfied with the team. There's three things I'm going to do differently. Now that I've gotten the critical crises out of the way in the sense of that move, knowing exactly where we're going. Number one, I'm going to get out of this place more often. I'm going to go out and talk to the public. I'm going to do public fora. I'm going to interface with them. I'm going to make the case of what we've already done, why it's important, and what we'll do, if what will happen if they support what else I want to do.
Okay, that's the first thing. He's going to get out more. He's going to go talk to the public more. Actually, extra points for using the word fora. Have to give him that. He's going to go out more. This is common for presidents when they're not doing well. They believe that the problem is not that they're making bad decisions or they're failing to do a number of things. The problem is they haven't gotten their message out. People just don't understand what great things they're really doing. So they resolve to get out more. They decide that they're in this bubble inside Washington and they need to get out more, and that will somehow solve the problem. So that is the first thing that Biden is going to do. He's going to get out more, and he's going to be telling people all the great things he's already done. Quote, I'm going to make the case of what we've already done. Now, is that going to change anything in the future? Absolutely not. So, after Biden lists the first thing he's going to do, get out more, he then goes on to number two.
Number two, I'm bringing in more and more now that I have time. I mean, literally, like you, I'm not complaining. It's, you know, 12, 14 hours a day. No complaints. I really mean it sincerely. But now that certain of the big chunks have been put in place, and we know the direction, I'm also going to be out there seeking the more advice of experts outside, from academia to editorial writers to think tanks, and I'm bringing them in, just like I did early on, bringing in presidents and historians to get their perspective on what we should be doing, seeking more input, more information, more constructive criticism about what I should and shouldn't be doing.
So that's number two. He's going to bring in people from the outside to have discussions. Editorial writers. Boy, we need to hear from more editorial writers. He specifically mentioned, you just heard him, that he had brought some presidential historians into the White House early on in his term. And this was actually quite notable because you have to remember, Biden is elected. It's not a landslide, but he's elected. And he has an extremely small majority in the House. And he has no majority at all in the Senate. So he brings these presidential historians in, who apparently all want him to enact the progressive agenda. And they tell him that he has the opportunity to pass sprawling, life-changing legislation like Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson did. You can be the new FDR, the new LBJ. He was all going to do that with virtually no majority at all on Capitol Hill. And if you look back, FDR and LBJ had huge legislative majorities when they passed big things like New Deal legislation and Great Society legislation. Huge legislative majorities. You can't do it with a 50-50 Senate. But these presidential historians told him he could be the new FDR and the new LBJ. It was terrible advice. And now Biden wants more of it. So that's the second thing he's going to do differently in the next year of his presidency. So let's go on now to the third thing that he's going to change in the next year.
The third thing I'm going to be doing a lot more of is being in a situation where I'm able to I'm going to be deeply involved in these off-year elections. We're going to be raising a lot of money. We're going to be out there making sure that we're helping all of those candidates, and scores of them already asked me to come in and campaign with them, to go out and make the case in plain, simple language as to what it is we've done, what we want to do, and why we think it's important.
That's number three. He's going to get out more, except this time it's going to campaign. And he's going to raise money. Can you imagine a resolution for a politician is, I'm going to raise more money this year. So the third thing that he's going to do differently is just he's going to campaign because it's an election year. So those are Biden's big three changes. And the thing to notice is that none of them involves any real change. And none of them say this simple thing. I'm going to do a better job. Doesn't say that. So, not much more to say about this. Remember when some Republicans, wished that President Donald Trump could change, even just a little bit? Could he smooth off some of his rough edges and be less combative? Well, the answer was no. I mean, Trump is who he is, and Republicans learn that. And if they haven't learned it by now, they never will. But he is who he is. Well, the same is true for Joe Biden. At this stage in his life, do not look for him to change. So when he tells you he's going to make changes in his second year in office, they aren't really changes. They're tweaks. They're PR. They're not really changes. So that's all we wanted to say. It's going to be a short podcast today. It's a one-point podcast, which is when he tells you he's doing a reset, when he tells you he's doing a reboot, don't believe him. It ain't happening. So, thanks again for listening. Always appreciate your listening and hope you'll join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.
Look, politics are stressful right now, but there are much better ways for conservatives to spend their time than to see what mood Joe Manchin might be in for a given vote, or which special interest group on the left will steamroll Joe Biden today. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the Three Martini Lunch podcast, and we'll give you the day's good, bad, and crazy news for conservatives with some much-needed laughs on the side. So please join us. Subscribe at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.